everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with Tom Fairbanks, Tom engineering and producing the show. And together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Thursday. It's the middle of October, October 15th, 2020. If we hit 100 degrees, which I guess, Tom Fairbanks, is possible, it would be the latest recorded 100 ever in the city of Tucson.
That's my understanding, and it may also be another record as far as the high for this date.
Yeah, for the high for the date. And oddly enough, Tom, the first recorded freeze in Tucson is on this date. So, wow, we can have very, very large temperature swings indeed. It's the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. We're on 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. We take the live feed from kvoi.com. Of course, all of our programs are available for you, archived almost 10 years of Buckmaster shows since we left TV to go over to radio. The Buckmaster Show Live Line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. The Live Line number is 790-2040. If you have any questions about COVID-19, now would be the time to dial in, because we have Dr. Richard Carmona with us on the Live Line. Dr. Carmona served as the 17th Surgeon General of the United States, a vice admiral in the Public Health Service Commission Corps. He's now chief of health innovation at the Resort Spa Canyon Ranch in Tucson, where he is also the vice chairman, a professor of surgery at the Zuckerman College of Public Health at the University of Arizona. Dr. Carmona in May was named by UA President Dr. Robert Robbins to lead the university's campus reentry task force. As director of that task force, he heads the development and execution of the return to the campus plan that is now in effect here as we are working our way through this fall semester. Dr. Carmona, how are you, sir?
Doing well, doing well. Nice to hear you again, Bill.
Tell me a little bit about where we are in this reentry program. I was just looking at these, the case totals for the state of Arizona. For the first time in quite a while, Dr. Carmona, statewide, we've gone over back into that 1,000 case territory. The good news is we've only had a fraction of that 1,000, less than 100 cases here in Pima County.
Well, I think there's a great story down here in Pima County. The city, the county, you know, working with Mayor Romero, County Manager Chuck Huckleberry, Terry Cullen, the Public Health Director, Francisco Garcia, it's a great team, and the university. We pull resources together, and we have a plan that brought students back in small groups at a time. We've increased that in the past week, but based on metrics. So we have prospectively determined metrics. That is, what are we looking at? We're looking at how many cases there are. We're looking at resources in the community. We're looking at a whole host of things that are, by the way, online. You can go and look at our dashboard. You can look at all of the data that we use. And that's how we make the determination if we'll keep opening up the school. Most of our students are digital learning, but we do have face-to-face students that need to be on campus for special labs, ROTC, things like that. Also, gradually, we're increasing the amount of students based on metrics when it's safe. And our numbers show that we've continued to drop cases for a considerable amount of time and only have a few students less than our quarantine from a high of, that we're in the hundreds. So we're doing pretty well, but we're not complacent. There's a lot of work before us, and we're worried just like everybody else about a second wave and the flu season starting at the same time.
How many students are doing face-to-face right now?
We started with, let me go start from the beginning. In the summer, we had about 7,000 on campus. About half of that was faculty, half were students. And as we've moved forward on campus now, we have between 15 and 20,000 people on a daily basis, with probably about half of that now would be students face-to-face.
How many have tested positive, do you think?
those numbers, I don't have the numbers right at my fingertips there, but our positivity rate as of this morning was about a 5%. And it was expected because we are bringing students back on campus. But again, the important thing was we had processes where students coming into the campus, when they're going to go to the dorms, they got tested first to make sure that they had no disease. They have a Wildcat wellness check every single morning. Should they become positive during the stay, that is, if they get symptomatic or if we find out there's a positive test, we have special dormitories where they go and get quarantined for the appropriate amount of time. Then they come back in. So, again, I would say to the listeners, go ahead online, go over to the U of A website, and you can get linked up to all of the information we have. And we put out a situation every 24 hours with the amount of cases, the amount of resources that are being used, what the community looks like, things like that. That's how we make our decisions.
How about the off-campus students, Dr. Carmona?
Yep. We've reached out to the campus students, off-campus students, who live in some of the high-rises, apartments, and so on. We've met with all of their managers. You know, we have a great team. The dean of students is involved. We have a gentleman that is on our incident command system, Alex, who is responsible for all the housing for our students. So we've made connections. We've also worked with the county as well, with Dr. Cullen, those buildings, which are potentially could be hotspots because so many kids into a building. So with that, we've had postage signage. We've had the managers cooperating with us to make sure there's social distancing, mask wearing, no big parties. Fraternities, sororities, the same thing. So it's been a cooperative, plan that only works because we're all working together to be able to decrease transmissibility.
Are the kids getting the message about the parties?
They are. Unfortunately, we still have some that are recalcitrant. That, you know, but we have CAR teams, the campus area response teams, which are working with our UAPD and TPD to identify any large groups, parties, things like that. Fortunately, they're becoming less and less. In the beginning, we had too many, and of course, those become potentially super spreader events. And based on our numbers, we think we've gotten pretty good control, but every weekend we'll see one or two that we have to report. These are reported to the Dean of Students, and depending on the degree of infraction, you know, they can be suspended immediately and eventually expelled. And that's up to the Dean of Students to make those determinations. As far as large parties where there's any challenges legally, underage drinking, destruction of property, things like that, then the police department gets involved for those.
Is this about where you had hoped we would be, Dr. Carmona, when this semester began?
I think so. You know, President Robbins went into this eyes wide open, recognizing that there was risk. But also there was a terrific demand for the students wanting to come back to the campus, parents wanting to have their students, you know, enjoy the benefits of an education on a great college campus like the University of Arizona. So we put together a very robust program to be able to gradually open the campus, but watching the appropriate metrics that are determined prospectively. We have a public health advisory team that we rely on, speak with them almost on a daily basis, and on a weekly basis we have a big meeting, we share information. That's epidemiologists and scientists. We have immunologists, you know, across the board. Our campus health is tied in with this because they deal with our athletes as well. So it's really a monumental task to be able to organize all of these resources and then act on their very important information to make sure the campus stays safe. And that's what the incident command system does, is to be the leader of all of these organizations and keep these meetings going, watching the data on a daily basis, advising the president so he can make the best decisions.
Have there been any recorded cases or instances of transmission, Dr. Carmona, in a classroom or laboratory setting so far at the University of Arizona?
No, there have not been any at all. In fact, it's something that we're very proud of, and we're actually doing a study to look at that and see if there's anything that we might have missed. But so far, based on what we know, there have been no transmissions from a classroom, from student to student or student to professor.
All right, Dr. Carmona sticks around for another segment with us, 790-2040, if you have any questions or comments for the doctor. But right now I want to tell everybody, and gladly so, about my favorite bakery in town. It's Mona's Danish Bakery on the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Mona's is home to the Danish pastry, the Kringle. If you don't know about a Kringle, you got to check it out. It's a delicious pastry that comes in a variety of flavors. Mona is open for breakfast, lunch, with indoor and patio dining, plus online orders and pickup are welcome. Mona's open Monday to Saturday, 6:30 a.m. to 5 p.m., Sundays 7 to 2. We will see you. I'll see you at Mona's, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. It's the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios. Be right back with Dr. Carmona right after this. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com. A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is in the process of developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan and soon will consider which projects best address transportation needs across the greater Tucson region. As part of its ongoing public outreach, the RTA invites your early input on which projects meet regional goals. Learn more about plan development and provide input at rtanext.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on this middle of October edition. Some high cloudiness out there. We're not really sure what that means. Wouldn't it be wonderful if there was some rain in the forecast, but there is not right now. We desperately need the rain. The Buckmaster Show Liveline is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We're in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. Let's go back to our conversation with Dr. Richard Carmona, who served as the 17th Surgeon General of the United States, and he is also heading the University of Arizona's Campus Reentry Task Force. Let's leave for a moment COVID-19. Dr. Carmona, and talk about this marijuana initiative that is on the ballot right now that people are voting on. Some of your thoughts about legalization of marijuana in the state of Arizona, please.
Yeah, well, Bill, allow me to just digress for 1 minute. You had asked me some numbers. I pulled them up on the break. So since the summer when we started, we've done 49,042 tests for COVID. There have been 2,402 positive, which comes in at about 4.9%. And the desirable rate to be at is below 5%. So we've made that cut so far. But we have to work hard at it still.
Dr. Carmona, are we below 5% yet in Pima County overall?
In Pima County overall, we can pull those up. I don't have them in front of me. But the desirable number we would all like to have is below 5%. So we're there with the university numbers. And I know that Dr. Cullen and her team are following those very closely as well. But that information is available on the Pima County website, as well as through Pima County Health Department.
Okay, well, that is encouraging. We are under 5%, at least in the campus community. What are some of your thoughts about legalization of marijuana? This has really taken off across the country. You look at the evolution of this going back. There was talk of it when you were the Surgeon General. I don't know if any states at that point had ever moved forward with it, but look at how it's evolved, Dr. Carmona.
Well, it's a real challenge. There's two areas that we look at marijuana in. One is legalization for recreational use, and the other is for medicinal use. And, of course, the challenge is that there's only been one component of marijuana that's been used that's been shown to have a benefit in seizures in children who have resistant seizures, that the CBD within marijuana. So this is a product of marijuana, the CBD, cannabidiol, seems to work, and there has been an approval by the FDA. But all other uses are really anecdotal at this time. Although there are many people claiming medicinal benefits, the fact of the matter is it's still illegal to prescribe marijuana in the United States. And doctors doing so do it at their own risk, but the federal government chooses not to prosecute, but it is still a controlled substance that is not supposed to be used outside of research and experimental protocols. On the recreational side, the challenge is, well, people use it because they feel good, but you have to ask, well, what's in it? Well, there are hundreds of carcinogens in it and chemicals that can hurt you. And so whether it is something that can irritate your lungs, something that can cause cancer, something that could be transmitted to another person, a person living in your home, and if that person is, for instance, a pregnant woman, the baby gets the benefit or the deleterious effects of the marijuana as well. So for people who think that is, people tell me this, that, well, it's not a big deal, you know, it's never killed anybody. The fact is it is pretty serious and can cause some serious health problems. For those who are interested, they should go to the National Institute of Drug Addiction. Go to NIH.gov or NIDA.gov and look at the work of Dr. Nora Volkow and the scientists at the National Institutes of Health. There is no question that it has significant deleterious short-term and long-term effects to your health. So as a Surgeon General, as a physician, advocating for its use for recreational use, I think I could not do that because it is not safe. Even though in some people it may not affect them right away, the science is pretty clear that there is enough adverse effects that we should all be concerned how and when this should be used. Again, I would urge the listeners, don't just listen to me. Look at the science that is behind this. And then you make your decision. Do you think it's worthwhile to take a risk when you see the number of deleterious effects that marijuana can cause, especially when it's used long term over time? So again, before you vote, I would suggest everybody take a look at the science and see what the scientists who are not biased, but are doing research across the board on marijuana and its effects should tell you. And again, I want to preface my remarks here again that that's not to say there are not some medicinal benefits to marijuana, and there's a lot of research going on in this area right now, or components of marijuana, not marijuana itself, like CBD. And I think that research should go on. And where we find some clinically significant benefit that outweighs any risk, then yes, we should use it. But we're not there yet, as I said, because there's only been one drug identified and approved that has CBD in it, which is a product of marijuana that helps with certain children with resistant seizures.
And you have a decades-long association in law enforcement here with the Pima County Sheriff's Department that continues to this day. I wonder about drivers being impaired with marijuana, people smoking marijuana and then coming to work. What are the effects? All of these things that we really, I don't know, maybe we know that people driving impaired, that's a huge problem.
It is, Bill, and you hit upon a very important point, that the use of marijuana, besides the good effect it may give somebody, does alter your ability sometimes to do a job. Do you want the pilot flying a plane to be, no more do you want them to be smoking marijuana that you want them to be imbibing a lot of alcohol, for instance. And so anything that can alter your judgment, your orientation, your affect, your cognition, mentation, you have to worry about. So if you're operating heavy machinery, if you're a surgeon, if you are a physician doing some procedure, these are things that can impair your thinking. And for the police officer who stops somebody impaired, it broadens what you have to look for now. Because in the past, we were worried about alcohol, and there were sobriety tests that are used. Same tests are used to show that you may be impaired by something else. So it may not be alcohol, but the officer sees you weaving, driving in an erratic manner, and you are not, you have not had any alcohol, they still have to check and find out and make sure that you are not driving like that because you've taken in other products, drugs or marijuana, for instance. So those are important points to make, that it does create a challenge for those people who are working, and their productivity can be affected and the safety around them could be affected. Those are things that have to be considered.
What about secondhand marijuana smoke, Dr. Carmona?
Yeah, there's less known about that than there is with regular tobacco smoke, which we know for years the tobacco company said secondhand smoke is a nuisance. It really doesn't cause any problems. My team and I, when I was Surgeon General, did the definitive report on secondhand smoke to show that that was all lies. The fact is the tobacco industry had lied about it. The fact is that secondhand smoke, in fact, is deleterious to your health, and can cause cancer, and can harm pregnancies, so on and so forth. Marijuana has less information, but still, somebody near you, a mom who is pregnant, living in a house with, say, a significant other that smokes marijuana, breathes that in. Then it goes across the barrier between mom and baby, and the baby can be affected by this as well. So although there's less information than regular secondhand smoke, I would urge all people, especially those moms, for instance, that are pregnant, to stay away from that. First of all, don't smoke it yourself. Second of all, don't be with somebody who's smoking marijuana, because we don't know enough to be able to say it's safe. And in my estimation, it probably is not.
All right. In the remaining, we've got about 3 minutes. I want to go back to the University of Arizona, the whole reentry program that is going on there. The decision was made not to have a spring break. That news came out in the last day or so. And also, what about the Thanksgiving break? Now, will that be the termination of face-to-face classes, Dr. Carmona?
So the provost and her team, this was not an issue that the incident command system was dealing with, but the provost and her team decided that that would be the best way to go, and that we would end the semester in Thanksgiving. And those students who still have work to do are encouraged to do it digitally. So in other words, if you're home, stay home, don't come back. If you have a place else to go, certainly the president said that's fine. Your dorms will still be available. You can still be on campus. For those students who are required to be on campus to finish a course, a special laboratory, something like that, certainly they are welcome. But again, our goal is during the winter months to try and decrease transmissibility as much as possible. So the provost issued that information this week. And the ICS is only involved as it relates to some of the discussions that have emanated from that. But I think the intent was to decrease the risk on the campus and yet still allow the students to be able to finish their curriculum. Because if they go home and then they have to fly back or take a bus back or drive back, you're increasing risk at a time in the winter months where we know that flu is also higher. Plus, many people are not congregating outside anymore. They're congregating inside, hence more transmissibility. So there's a whole host of reasons to be able to think like that. And in, you know, with an abundance of caution, suggest that it's only a few weeks left after Thanksgiving. Why bring them back and take the risk? Let them finish their coursework digitally. And for those who have to do it, we'll make sure that they're able to do it and stay on campus.
All right, Dr. Carmona, we will let you go. We've got to get through this this winter period here. I've had my flu shot. I know that there's been a huge interest this year, Dr. Carmona, in getting the flu shot. Get the flu shot. That's what I'm urging everybody, because we don't want kind of a twindemic here, do we?
No, we don't. No. President Robbins and I got our flu shots just recently. So, you know, we're practicing what we're preaching. Everybody should get if there's some medical reason not to, you should get a flu shot.
All right. Dr. Richard Carmona, always a pleasure. Thank you very much, sir.
Thanks, Bill. Bye-bye now.
Dr. Richard Carmona, former Surgeon General of the United States, leading the reentry program at the University of Arizona. Coming up on the bottom of the hour, CBS Network News. Then we will hear from the two candidates for Pima County Assessor on Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Green Things, your place to go for everything green. 13 acres along with several dozen greenhouses filled with beautiful things, including poinsettias. Yes, they're growing them, and they will be ready for the holidays, so they're getting them all set. Thousands of them at Green Things. So check out Green Things and Zocalo Village, kind of one-stop shopping. Green Things and some beautiful furniture from Zocalo Village, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com are the two websites. Green Things, 3384 East River Road. The Buckmaster Show Live Line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. It's time for our 2020 Your Vote, Your Voice candidate interview series, and over the next two segments here, we will get to know the Democrat Suzanne Drube and the Republican Joanne Sabah in the race for Pima County Assessor. Suzanne Drube is up first. Suzanne with us on the live line. Suzanne, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you for asking. What does the Pima County Assessor do?
The Pima County Assessor identifies properties, values those properties, and gets them onto the roll for ad valorem tax purposes. And they also deal with exemptions across the county, qualifying and reviewing properties for exemption matters.
Suzanne, what is your background that would make you a good fit for this particular office?
Well, I have over 24 years of experience directly related to the assessor's office. I have 17 years of appraisal experience, 5 years as a property tax advocate, and experience in management and customer service.
Have you worked in the office before?
I have. I worked in the Pima County Assessor's office for 7 years, and I also worked for finance and risk management, working with property tax court cases as their property valuation expert.
Why should we care about this particular race? Why is this so important to Pima County people?
The Pima County Assessor values your home and your business and for tax purposes. Those taxes are a very large part of your budget, be it your business budget or your family budget. Knowing how we come to that value and how that determines your portion of the county budget is very important, making sure you're comfortable with that and you understand where those tax dollars are going. That's all of the stuff that the assessor's office does for the community. We also, though, in my opinion and what I'm running on, is we also have the obligation to get out into the community and make sure that you know exactly what we do, that you understand what exemptions are available, what programs are available that can possibly help you in times of need, understand what's going on in the market and how that affects you. So the assessor's office plays a huge part actually in your daily life. You just were behind the scenes, and so it's not necessarily in front of you, with the exception of those two times a year when you get that tax bill. Some people don't even realize that we're around until they've actually paid off their mortgage because it's taken care of with their escrow, and then all of a sudden they still have this bill coming every year. And those are some of the people that are really concerning to me as far as their knowledge base goes, because they're on a fixed income typically at this point. Most of them are seniors and retired, and they need to understand that we have programs that can help so that your fixed income is not impacted year to year, going forward, or we minimize that impact as much as possible.
Is the assessor's office where people would go if they had a dispute thinking that their property had been undervalued, Suzanne?
They can come to the assessor's office to dispute what they consider to be an under or overvaluation of their property. I don't get a lot of people coming to me complaining because they think their property is undervalued. However, what people don't understand is that sometimes that can be an issue. So I'm glad you brought that up. If you are trying to, say, refinance your house or sell your house, sometimes it is a problem if the assessor's office has your property undervalued, because that can affect how much you sell it for or how much you would qualify for on a refinance loan. But the typical thing that I see in the assessor's office is people disputing because they believe that their valuation is too high. And then there's an appeal process that they go through for that. And part of my job as the assessor is making sure they understand how we came to their value and what that appeal process is and what they can do within the system to make sure that they're being treated fairly, such as going to the Board of Equalization, or if they have to, take it to tax court. We never like to see it get that far. It does happen. And so in my particular stand is on that I want to do everything within my power to make sure that it doesn't get that far, by just making sure the public is very well informed and that we're being very transparent at the assessor's office.
Would you try to up the visibility of this particular office?
I am definitely going to try to up the visibility. One of the ways I'm going to do that is by getting the assessor's office out into the community. Typically, right now, the assessor's office pretty much stays in the office. But what I want to do is I want to be out there. I want to be at the homeowners association meetings, telling people about what's going on in the market as far as residential values. I want to be at the chamber and explaining to businesses what's happening in the market as it relates to property tax assessments. So yes, you are going to see a huge presence in the assessor's office. We're going to bring the assessor's office out into the community.
Tell our listeners a little bit about yourself. Where are you from and why you decided to even get into this race?
Well, I'm originally from Minnesota. I think I've been doing pretty good, with the exception of just saying that word, is to keeping my accent under wraps. But when we moved here in 2008. I've been visiting Tucson my entire life. My grandparents were snowbirds. My aunt and uncle and my cousins live here, and family is very dear to me. And so as soon as I could convince my husband that this is where we needed to be, we moved down here. So assessment was something that I got into because, as a mother of small children, I wanted to be able to have a career that allowed me to also be flexible and spend time and not miss my children growing up. And then it snowballed and just kind of took on a life of its own through fee appraisal, real estate, and then into mass appraisal. And I love it. A lot of people kind of look at me crazy and think I'm a little bit of a nerd for being so into property tax, but I do actually love it because I understand how important it is to every community. It's the starting point for our revenue base and keeping all of the services that we depend on every single day up and running. So, That's kind of what led me into it. And I do have a passion about it that's kind of unique. But those of us that are in the assessor's office, the staff and everybody else will tell you that we do love it. And we are passionate about it. We're passionate about the taxpayers.
Okay, Suzanne Drewby, Democrat for Pima County Assessor. Where can we find out more about you?
You can find out more about me at my website, SuzanneForAssessor.com. That's SuzanneForAssessor.com.
All right. Suzanne Drewby, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Thanks a lot. Suzanne Drewby, the Democrat, running for Pima County Assessor. Up next, Joanne Sabah, the Republican, who wants to be Pima County Assessor. It's Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Be right back.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for the draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. The Buckmaster Show live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Want to tell you about Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. We send so many people over to this beautiful area of the Land of Enchantment. It's only about a three-hour drive. Time to start planning now, and the best place to do that, southwestnewmexico.org. There you'll find a lot of information about great places to stay and so many recreation opportunities. We continue now with the Buckmaster Show 2020 Your Vote, Your Voice candidate interview series. All of our candidate interviews are archived at kvoi.com. In the last segment, we heard from Suzanne Druby. She is the Democrat running for Pima County Assessor. Her opponent is Joanne Sabah, and Joanne is the Republican in the race, and she joins us now on the live line. Joanne, how are you today?
Very well, Bill. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you for asking. Tell me a little bit about yourself, and are you a CPA?
Actually, my name is Joanne Sabah.
Sabah.
I am not a CPA. I am an enrolled agent.
Okay.
And the difference between the two is a CPA is a state license. The enrolled agent is a federal license. So my career in my profession is defending taxpayers against the Internal Revenue Service and 54 different taxing jurisdictions. Now, I am aware we only have 50 states, but we actually have 54 taxing jurisdictions.
Really?
So my licensing allows me to cross state lines across international boundaries. So I can represent my clients before anybody, whereas with a state license, if you were having a problem like where my family mostly is in Ohio, you'd have to get permission from Ohio to practice or represent as a CPA.
So that would be the District of Columbia, Puerto Rico, Virgin Islands.
It is Puerto Rico.
American Samoa.
Okay. Yes. And so, you know, that's the fun thing. Plus, you know, I sometimes get involved with a little bit of looking at tax treaties and, you know, where do you want to go, you know, from here as far as different opportunities for revenues.
So you've run your and do run your own tax and accounting business, correct?
I do. I am actually the owner. And just to let you know how important you are and this campaign for me, today, as everybody knows, is October 15th.
Yes.
It is the filing deadline for everyone who did not do their taxes by July 15th.
Really?
Yes. So normally, let's go with the normal school of thought. Back in the old days when April 15th was the filing deadline, that's an important deadline. But, you know, I can file an extension. Today, I can't.
Whoa.
So, yes, yeah, so these last several weeks, the September 15th filing deadline for corporations and the October 15th for the individuals are much more difficult than the March and April ones that we come across.
Tell me about this run for Pima County Assessor. Why, Joanne, did you get involved?
I have been made aware of some systemic and procedural problems within the assessor's office. And as usual, I get upset. I can't get answers. I want to make change. In my profession, I'm constantly dealing with systemic issues with the Internal Revenue Service and taxing authorities. It's become almost a second requirement to do my job. And I'm seeing this in the Pima County Assessor's Office. And I believe it is time that we had somebody in that office who's not only an accountant, but also somebody who is going to look out for the taxpayers first. And I believe I'm the candidate who will do that.
Give me your platform issues quickly, please.
Okay. Again, there are systemic and procedural problems. One of the issues is there are properties that should be on the tax rolls that are not. And we can't seem to, it's just been pushed off to the side. I've confirmed this with Beth Ford, our Pima County Treasurer. They refer to them as black holes.
Huh.
Information, another situation that was brought to my attention is a homeowner had their property valuation adjusted as additions to their house when they've never done that. So the process goes, if you were going to put an addition on your house, you go and get a permit. And then the permit is supposed to go to the assessor's office. And then any increase in value would be adjusted. Well, somebody else's changes went on to this property, not even in the neighborhood, and you know the taxpayer just didn't look at it right away, didn't notice it right away. By the time they did, they couldn't get it undone. So they were overpaying taxes. Another issue is that, you know, Pima County residents are paying more than their fair share. My opponent has built a career out of representing commercial business owners in doing valuation adjustments at the Board of Equalization and getting those amounts reduced. As you're aware, Pima County, as the Board of Supervisors, puts together a budget. If that money is not going to come from significant funds from those commercial accounts, they're going to be passed on to the individuals. What I see coming in my office are just arbitrary $30,000, $20,000, $40,000. Nobody's going out and doing the what they refer to as touching the properties every 5 years. Is the value really increased? They're just increasing the valuations in order to get the revenues up to meet the budget shortfall that's come from the reduction of the commercial properties. I don't think that's looking after Pima County residents. I think that's looking after special interests.
So you're saying it is time for a change.
It is time for a change. It is time for somebody to take care of the residents of Pima County. And now more than ever with the COVID, businesses closing left and right. My heart just breaks. As a small business owner who works with small businesses, I can't think of another word. It's heartbreaking.
Joanne, tell our listeners about where they can learn more about you. Do you have a website?
We do have a website that is very beautiful, and it crashed. I had somebody updating it. So if you want to see a bunch of goofily stuff, please go today. Otherwise, give us the weekend to get it fixed. It is Sabah4Arizona. That's S, my last name, S as in Sam, A as in Adam, B as in ball, A as in Adam, G as in George, H as in horse, Arizona, ArizonA.com.
And I've only got about 30 seconds. Tell our listeners about yourself. Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Toledo, Ohio, and I have the two best loving roommates ever, Rosie and Rita, who are cats, and I just got the calendar. They are featured in the Humane Society 2021 Cat Calendar.
Great.
So there's nothing better in life than seeing my babies in the calendar.
The babies, what type of cats?
They are just regular domestic short hair. They are both feline leukemia and feline HIV positive. Nobody would adopt them. And my home is very quiet. I have no children, no dogs. So it's a perfect place for them to be stress-free and basically own me.
Well, I'm sure they're waiting for you when you come home with open arms.
Well, one loves me, the other's going to kill me in my sleep.
I'm a cat person, so I understand that. Joanne Sabah, thank you very much.
Bill, thank you. And just one last shout-out. Vote Joanne Sabah for Pima County Assessor. Hooray, hooray, hooray.
There you go. Joanne Sabah, Republican running for Pima County Assessor, up against Suzanne Drube, the Democrat. That's it for Buckmaster. On behalf of Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing the show, have a great afternoon, everybody.